Hello, Cinnabar Moss, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Angelo Lorenzo, the winner of the 2023 Cinnabar Moss Literary Collections Prize for short storytelling. Angelo, congratulations on your win. How are you doing
Hi,
today?
Rasta. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony about my point of view of winning and also to receive the award. It's been a great privilege to always be part of the Cinnabar Moth Literary Collections. And my gratitude goes to all who have worked tirelessly and genuinely for bringing stories to life, especially the folks at Cinnabar Moth Publishing. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
No, thank you for being, sticking with us and providing us with the opportunity to be the ones to present your work. It's always a pleasure to read it. And how does it feel to be the winner of the prize for short storytelling?
At first, it was surprising because I thought that, well, I originally had the idea that it's definitely competitive. And I believe that there are plenty of writers who are genuinely talented who have also submitted their entries. And I didn't expect to be able to be recognized for this prestigious award. But when I received the email, I was overjoyed. And I actually received it when I was having breakfast one morning. I had this routine every day where I checked first my emails, the inbox in my emails, and then I saw the message that the Cinnabar Moth has sent me, and I'm very, very thrilled, and I was very excited to have received the news, and literally it made my day, and I was happy all throughout, so it's been a great opportunity, and it's been a great experience.
I'm glad you had such a positive start to your day then with receiving it. What were some of your first thoughts and feelings when you read that email and informed you that you'd won?
Yeah, at first I was kind of like trying to keep myself awake because like I was still groggy from after like sleeping at night, and then I woke up and then I prepared my breakfast. So I kind of like still have half of the coffee that I drank at that time. So the caffeine wasn't really fully in effect. But I believe that when I read the email or when I read the news, it was the caffeine that the one that kept me awake was not the caffeine, but it's the news that I won. So my first thought was that, is this real? But I read the message many times over, and I realized that this has happened. Like, they named me as the winner, so I'm very thrilled. And one of the first things that came to my mind was that I was grateful to be able to be given the chance to submit my entry, and also to be able to receive the opportunity to be recognized for this prestigious award. And it's been kind of like a rough journey in being a writer, but it's awards like this that would validate our efforts in putting our stories forward and sharing our stories for the world to learn and for the world to understand us better.
I think that's an awesome message to take from the award, and I'm glad that it helps to encourage your writing, because as someone who is personally a fan of your short storytelling and your writing, I would like you to keep writing.
Thank you so much, Rasta. And I would say the same for you as well. You're a very talented person, and especially the folks at Cinnabar Moth Publishing. Everyone is truly inspiring and influential in my writing process and all.
Well, that's very sweet to hear, and I'm sure the rest of the team will love to hear that when I extend the news to them, slash when they listen to the interview.
Right.
So, I want to talk to you a little bit about your short story writing process. You know, this right. is yeah. kind of the key to what you're receiving the reward for is your writing, right? And so, for you, how does a short story develop? What is your process that you go through to write some of these amazing stories that you've written?
For one, I can't really say that I have a definite writing process. All I can say is that ideas come from anywhere. When I was still residing in the Philippines, ideas come from personal experiences, and it's also the same that it's also the same kind of inspiration that I get that I'm currently living in Spain. So personal experiences, things that happen to us uniquely, would inspire us to write or to generate or to catch an idea. And then that's when the idea would turn into words. So I always keep a notebook with me everywhere I go. I always have this. It's not, I wouldn't really call it a journal, because when you're having a journal, you write extensively about how your day went and what are your thoughts were, but like word prompts that would fully explain these ideas. For example, I'll give you an anecdote. One day I was waiting for my time at the tram station, and I was waiting for the tram to arrive. And then I saw a mother and her son trying to have breakfast at the tram station. So the mother was guiding the son to eat the bread, and then the son was also like happy because he knows and he feels secured that his mother was with him at that time. And it kind of like reminded me that, you know, a mother's love is universal. So one of the short stories that I wrote had that theme, where a mother is basically, you know, everywhere you go around the world, the culture, whatever culture you're in, whatever place you live in, it's universal. The mother's love is constant. And then, and I think it would go the same with fathers as well. So it's like a parent's love is definitely universal, and it would give them, they would always give that a certain effort to make their children or their sons and daughters, you know, grow up with a meaningful life and to be provided with everything that they need. So for my short story writing process, it's definitely the first thing that comes is the idea that comes from personal experience, personal insights, and my observations about the world around me. And then I keep a notebook, and then I just write words that relate to that idea. And then later on, I will sit down whenever I have a free time or an available time. I would sit down, go over the words that I've written in my notebook, and then begin an outline. Or sometimes I write with an outline, sometimes the words just come through spontaneously. So it really depends on the theme as well, and it also depends on the kind of story that I'm writing. Because for me, I don't really keep myself limited in one genre. I want to write in as many genres as possible. I've written science fiction stories, I've written love stories, and I've written stories that are semi-autobiographical. So every time I have these ideas with me, I always take time to think them over. Sometimes I write an outline, sometimes I just write them spontaneously on a page without any guidelines at all. And then sometimes it just come along, and it's all based on personal experiences.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like you actually draw inspiration from your own life in all of the writing that you do.
Definitely. right.
And it sounds to me like you also draw inspiration from your observations of other people's lives and their behaviors. And so it's definitely very much you work from the world you live in.
Definitely, yeah. And sometimes they come along as you start writing. Some ideas would prompt you to write something that on the initial draft or on the earliest version of the work. But sometimes when you're actually just taking the time to write whatever that comes to your mind, the ideas would come along. So that's the time when there are certain writing processes that don't require outlines. They are just go along as you try to actively put words on paper. And I think that the inspiration also comes from personal memories as well.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I do feel it for when I read your work, the kind of, in a way, down-to-earthness of it. I'm not sure if that's the right phrasing, but the realness of it comes across really well.
Right. Because I think that in our case as writers, the best stories come from our unique point of view. And every one of us, I believe that wherever we come from, whatever belief system we tend to follow, or whatever culture we practice, or however we identify ourselves, one thing that makes us unique definitely is our personal experience. Not everyone can write that about us, but it's only us who can write that about ourselves. So it's one thing that makes us unique, and the best stories come from the truth of our lives, from what we have gone through, what we are experiencing, and what we look forward to as well. So everything that we have personally experienced day by day, only us can tell it the best way possible.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I do think from having read your work that that messaging and that viewpoint comes across really well. And I've connected with your writing a lot on the basis of like really feeling the life of the characters and the life of the world that you draw, that you write out and that you paint for us with your words.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Rasta.
And so with your work, you know, you've been doing short story writing for a while now, and mm-hmm. you know, you won the Cinnabar Moth Literary Collections Prize for Short Storytelling. Where would you like your work to go next?
Definitely, I'm always having this ultimate goal to publish a novel one of these days. I've had written some manuscripts as of late, and I've been actively submitting to literary agents. But so far, it's part of the writing process and the writer's experience to, like, you know, some things don't really go your way. And it's part of the learning process, because it is only through like these things that you get to improve your writing capabilities, and you tend you also find inspiration to hone your craft. So definitely I'm always open to having my works published by mainstream publishers or independent publishers as well, as long as there is an opportunity or a platform to share our stories and tell it to the world, for the world to understand us better, for the world to learn about our lives, and for the world to become a better place in general through our stories, then that is something that I look forward to. So the specific steps would probably be have my novel published. So like one of the manuscripts, is going to be to be accepted by a literary agent, hopefully by next year, or by an independent publisher, or by a mainstream publisher. So that's where my eye is on at the moment. And then I'm also actively collaborating with theater companies in the States. I've collaborated with, there is a New York-based theater festival which I have participated in 2022, and it's called Talking It Out, and it's a very good theater festival, because it advocates for the like the realities or the conditions of mental health. So these days it's definitely a way to tell people that, you know, you're not alone in going through what you go through. So whatever mode of storytelling is open for me, whether it's on the stage or on theater or on pages in books, I'm definitely open for them. And I would very much like to innovate as well. So one of the initial steps for my innovation journey was when one of my short stories, I adapted it into a theater play, or into a one act play, and it's actually available on YouTube. The title is The Midnight Catch Up, and it was performed during the Talking It Out festival in 2022, and it was about this girl who had an anxiety during the pandemic. And it was based on a short story that I wrote, which was published by the Flyover Country Literary Magazine in 2021. And then for future projects, I'm considering to have my works adapted into either whatever medium that is available, like theater, film, or like any kinds of platforms or mediums or modes of storytelling opportunities that would, you know, give ourselves a platform to share our stories to the world. So I'm always open to collaboration. I'm always open to opportunities and for publishing experiences as well.
So it sounds like you're doing quite a few different avenues of expressing your writing creativity. And honestly, hearing that, it's exciting to me because I had never really thought about, for example, adapting a short story to a one-act play.
Yeah, it is. It was quite of these are different genres entirely, like short stories and one-act plays. And I made it as much as possible true to its original source material, because if you're adapting something, you have to make sure that the original theme or the original concept will not be hindered or will not be entirely diminished when they're going to be converted into a new material. So that's one of the challenges in adapting a work into another work. So it's also a bit of like a challenge, but it's a learning experience. And for someone like me who's always curious, who is always interested in learning, that's something that I'm always looking forward to do in adapting my work into something else.
That's really wonderful to hear. And I am really excited to see how your work evolves and changes from the variety of experiences that you're having with your writing journey.
Exactly. So I'm always looking forward to it. And thank you so much for your encouraging words.
And so I wanted to follow up on that with, you're writing in a lot of different avenues, right? You're going with writing novel manuscripts, you have your short storytelling, your playwriting.
Yeah.
What sort of writing awards would you like to win or next, or would you aim for if you were to, say, be able to choose one to go for next?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind would probably be, well, this may sound a bit too ambitious, but the Nobel Prize. But anyway, we start with small steps, okay? But that's too ambitious. But for me, awards matter in some way, because they would help encourage us. They would, give writers our like self-esteem, and they would increase our reputation in the literary community. But at the end of the day, we're all storytellers of our own, and I would accept whatever awards that would come my way, as long as, but one thing that I would make sure is that I will remain constant in my effort to make my stories matter and to write stories that matter. So it's like whatever awards that come my way, whether it's a literary award like the Booker Prize or the National Book Award or whatever awards that are regarded prestigious these days, I will remain constant to making my work, as important and as necessary to be heard or to be read as much as possible, and to be seen by people who are, living this lives who are the same as mine. I think that there is an importance to underscore the stories of diverse voices, and these days it matters most to to be able to tell our stories and to let the people who may not really understand our experiences or our narratives, to let them understand even more through our stories, and to make them appreciate that we're here to exist and we are open to coexistence and we are open to a world of tolerance. So awards matter in some ways, but at the end of the day, it's the writing that counts. It's the effort of producing a work and to be able to have a purpose in behind your writing efforts or behind your writing advocacy. That is the most rewarding experience, in my opinion. So when you're writing about your personal experience, or when you're writing about your collective experience in a community that has often been overlooked in the world, then that's it in itself, I believe, is an award as prestigious as winning the Nobel Prize.
I mean, that's a wonderful message of, you know, the awards are nice because it means that, you know, you're being recognized and that might increase the amount of people that you connect with.
Yes.
But your core goal is to express the stories that you can express.
It definitely. That's one of the things that keeps me encouraged to write is that this world has so much to learn as of the moment, and the only way for us to make it a step better is to tell our stories so that the world would understand us better, and at the same time we learn about the communities that we have often been overlooked. The communities that have often been overlooked. So it's our way of, as a writer myself, I have this personal goal to, you know, not just write for the sake of for the sake of pleasure or for the sake of achieving something prestigious, but to write for something that would, you know, help lives become better. And it's with what's happening with the world today, we definitely need stories to do that, like with what's happening in wars and a lot of diversive thoughts that would lead to violence. I think stories matter in making each side of the coin understandable to one side or the other. So it's definitely something that would help improve the state of the world that we currently live in, because I think that it's constant. Issues around the world is constant. So just as constant as these issues are, so do our efforts in telling our stories should be as constant as they are.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I know from having followed your work that you've done a lot of work in trying to advocate for universal human rights, to talk right. about mental health, and to even include these in your writing to be able to help share these stories and help bring people together.
Right. Thank you so much.
And so I wanted to follow up on that a little bit with, you know, you personally have talked a little bit about your motivation is to share your stories and to share your perspectives on these things to help people understand each other better. Is that what keeps you going when it comes to submitting your work for prizes or submitting your work for publication?
Yeah, because even in the age of like, we have this opportunity for to self-publish our works, to get our works out there. But for me, I believe in the efforts of publishing companies and for committees that provide prizes. So I believe in their capabilities in recognizing stories that matter. So that's one of the motivations that I do in submitting my works to any kind of institution or organization that would underscore or uphold that type of work. So that keeps me motivated. The idea that there are organizations out there, whether it's a prize committee for awarding prizes or whether it's a publication company like Cinnabar Moth and other highly reputed and highly prestigious publishing companies. I believe that they have this efforts, and I don't think that it will go to waste any soon, because despite living in an age of like social media, and now that we are in the prelude of the artificial intelligence, it's kind of like bothering to know about that there are some, you know, there are some like direct way to produce works, but I always believe in the process. I always believe in the process of organizations that would uphold works that matter and would reward works that are worth reading. So that keeps me motivated. It's my belief in them and it's my trust in them that would motivate me to submit to them for the recognition of my works.
I think that's a really wonderful way to look at it, and also a very powerful way to keep yourself going, is that
right.
understanding that, you know, there will be people who will want to recognize and uplift this type of messaging. and to have that positive view of, you know, the people around us, that people do want to understand each other. And so these stories will find purchase and connection somewhere.
Definitely, definitely. You word it really, you word it better. Yeah, but definitely it's that idea that keeps me going.
And so I want to follow up on that a little bit with, you know, you've now been writing for quite some time. You have this experience with, you know, connecting with publishers and with prize groups and with, you know, people around the world. As you mentioned, we are in this informational age where connecting with people is so easy, but at the same time, in a way that can make things challenging for some people because there's just so many options, right?
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you a bit, what advice do you have for aspiring authors or even current authors who may be struggling with the querying process or who may just starting their process of querying? What advice would you have for them for that process?
For me, the best advice that I would give for them, and I would also learn from this advice as well, because it's the advice that I've always learned from writers that are already, in a way, for lack of a better term, like established in the field. I don't know if there really are, because a lot of writers are also, you know, struggling in our careers and still actively submitting our work. So in the querying process as well, the advice that I would give is just to keep going, you know, and in a way to keep going, where do we fuel our motivation to keep going? It's our ultimate goal to tell our stories, to unravel the truth that we have experienced in our lives, to see that there is a much better impact that our writer brings other than just be appearing as an entry to a page or as a book on the shelf. There's definitely a more fulfilling result or impact that our work brings other than being in its completed form. And I think that one of the impact that it brings is that it definitely tells our stories, it tells the truth, and at the same time it makes people appreciate that truth and to relate it in their lives. So for aspiring authors, and I think that I'm also one of them, because I'm also still in the querying process, and I would say the same for my fellow authors who are also in the same process as I am, to just keep going in order for us to tell our truth, to make this world a better place, and to, you know, make our stories matter. And I think that whatever stories we tell, whatever style we follow, or whatever genre we tend to do or to categorize our works in, it's the idea that whatever struggles we go through, our stories have that impact to change the world in its own little way. So we've seen a lot of this happen. We've seen a lot of, like, for example, J.K. Rowling, or I'm not sure, other authors as well, who have gone on to have their works being recognized by literary prizes or received the opportunity to have their works being published for over the years, like Ernest Hemingway, for example. We have seen a lot of them change lives in their stories, and we never know that as long as we keep submitting our works, maybe one of the publishing companies or prize committees would definitely see it, and they would give it an opportunity to be shared around the world. So it's definitely that impact, the result, that the potential that our story can impact in the world, can change the world for the better. And I would also tell them that this effort or this endeavor is definitely unique in our own experiences. Some authors can, when they're starting off in their querying process, they might achieve early success, and that's good. But there are also some authors that who have been in the querying process for a long time, and then they would achieve late success. But as long as going back to our constant goal to share our stories, to be able to write and to believe in that goal, that our stories will change the world for the better, then that keeps us going. Even when we receive early or late success, then it doesn't matter, as long as we just keep going with the process, writing process, growing process, and experiencing life itself. And it may be a subjective industry, but in a way, our truth remains constant within us. And with that truth, then we have that motivation, we have that fuel to write our stories and to share it for the world to know.
I think that's a beautiful message to give to, authers, not just aspiring ones, but even current authors who may have some experience, is that core message of our stories are ours to tell, and they will find people.
Definitely. Definitely.
And so I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, you've shared your views on writing, right?
Right.
I want to ask you, how would you describe your writing style?
Oh, that's kind of like an important question as well, because for me, I would describe my writing style as something that is, I as much as possible, I want my stories to be understandable for the reader. So I wouldn't like resort to using really, deep words in English. So I would make it as understandable and in a way simple for the readers to understand. So my writing style also revolves around my own voice as a storyteller. It comes from my experience. English is my second language, but I feel more comfortable writing in English than in my native language in the Philippines. But in some ways, I have this certain gratitude that some English speakers or native English speakers appreciate my stories. That and I think that one of the styles that I have incorporated is to write as simple as possible. I don't want to write pretentiously, like using deep words or in some ways like highfalutin words. But in a way, I wanted to have that simple effect, or to have that simple style, so that it would be absorbed easily by the reader, and then it would make them understand even more easily. So I would also say that I'm also leaning more towards the descriptive form, because I love describing atmospheres. I love describing environments. And it also matters on the genre. When you're writing for science fiction or fantasy, exposition is also relevant in the prose. And when you're writing about, like, I don't know, like semi-autobiographical, I think that being more insightful to your feelings or to the character's feelings is also relevant. So I think that it varies in genre, but for me, what remains constant is to write as simple as possible, so that the reader will be able to understand the story even better, and to get the message and to apply that message in their lives.
I think that makes a lot of sense and does come across in your writing. From what I've read, there is a clarity to it, where even if I don't always have my full understanding of the context going into the story of the world that you're writing in or the story that you're writing in, I always come out the other side understanding what the message was, or at least my understanding of the message, because of course things always get moved a little bit based off of the person who's receiving it, right?
Right. And sometimes, like, even when the genres vary, there are different differences in terms of like the worldview, or like the the style of how the world functions or how that environment in the story functions, whether it's a fantasy, science fiction, horror, or post-apocalyptic, or whatever genres that are present these days. One thing that remains constant is the relevance of the message, like whether you're we're talking about the character's heroism, you know. I think that is the core value of the story. Like, then there are some stories that differ in genres, but then they have the core message of, you know, love is the solution to the end of the world or something or something. I'm just making something up as we go, but anyway, it's the core message that is applicable to reality. And in the real world that we live in, we can be as creative as possible in writing stories, but then the core message is applicable in our lives. Whatever conflicts we face in, like in science fiction, there might be some grand wars, or there might be some, and for historical novels, there might be some, you know, wars that have existed in the past that are, that have been devastating in the world or civilizations. But one thing remains true is that the core message is the goodness of what we believe in. So it's, for example, the heroism of the character, the love shared by the family, or the respect that we give to each other, then we don't need genres to explain these throughout. But in a way, these virtues or these values are applicable in the current world that we live in, outside of the pages that we read or outside of the stories that we write. So stories are, in a way, tools to elaborate further about these core values, and then to entertain us at the same time. But at the end of the day, it's the learning and the application of these values that remain relevant, and that we should also apply in our lives.
That makes a lot of sense, and I definitely think that's a great way to view writing, and is very well reflected in the work that you've done. And
thank you.
I am a little bit curious, though, you know, with your goal of connection and telling these stories and, you know, essentially, in a way, bonding with your reader over an understanding of you know, a variety of topics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference for the medium versus, for example, short story writing versus like novel length writing versus playwriting? Do you have a preference between any of those, or what are your thoughts about the different mediums?
I think that all mediums or all forms of writing are basically tools to tell our stories. But at the end of the day, for me, I would prefer basing it around the idea. Like sometimes when I write, there are times when I originally planned it as a short story, but then it got longer and then it turned into a manuscript of a novel. So it's basically, it really depends on the idea, because, for example, if you're basing it out of your personal experience and you have more insights about it, then you have more words to explain that in those insights, or to explain the values that you're advocating in that story. Then you go for a novel. And then sometimes for a short story, there are some ideas that remain like that can be explained better with as minimum words as possible. Then you can do it as a short story. And then there are some ideas that are better depicted in conversations, then you can write a one-act play or a full-length play. And then there are some ideas that are better explained with music or songs. And if it's that, if that's something that you're comfortable writing about, then you can write a musical. So it really depends on the idea that is the foundation of the story. So for me, I'm open to any kinds of writing forms, whether it's short or long, or like spoken or sung. So I'm open to all kinds of them. I'm open to experimenting. I'm also open to different varieties of styles and genres. So, but at the end of the day, it's what matters most is how the idea is being executed or how the idea is being depicted or conveyed. So it that's the basis of which preference I choose, whether this idea is good for a short story or a longer form of work.
Okay, so for you, it's less about a preference for writing a specific style all the time, but rather, depending on the message that you're trying to convey, you choose your medium based on that.
Definitely, yes, yes. And that's when the challenge of adaptation also comes in, because like I said earlier, if you have an idea that is only good for a short story, but then you want to expand it further, then there is an opportunity to adapt it into another form of writing or into another genre or into another style of another medium of writing. You can transform it into a novel, you can transform it into a musical, or you can transform it into a one-act play. And then there are also one-act plays that are adaptable into novel form. So we've seen a lot of these mediums converge and transform each other. So it also depends on how well the adaptation comes along. But as long as the idea remains true or the message remains true, then that's as good as it gets.
And it's a great way of viewing it. And I definitely agree, thinking about it, that there's always been a lot of adaptations, even to, say, things like movies, for example. There's a lot of movie adaptations of books and such that, or like TV show adaptations, things like that, that really do illustrate how the medium can also change how easy some parts of a message can be represented to an audience.
Definitely. Definitely. I would definitely agree with that. And it really matters on how well it is also received by people, because there are some like ideas that are kind of like detrimental or dangerous for other people to know about. So we have to make sure that our stories are can convey ideas that are not, you know, harmful to specific communities as well. So it matters on the execution, or it matters on the practice or the application on the depiction of these ideas.
Yeah, I definitely agree that there are some stories that have been written that were meant to convey something about a community or group, but then it ends up not conveying the full picture or even misrepresenting them completely. And that is more detrimental than helpful.
Definitely. And that's where our personal truth comes from. The best way to represent a work is to be part of the community, or to identify in the community where representation matters.
I definitely agree. And I think that if we're trying to talk about a community we're not in, then it becomes very important to talk with and hear the stories directly from the members of the community, so that we can and get their feedback on the writing that we're doing, to make sure that we're being respectful and mindful, to make sure that our message still represents well in the face of their truth, rather than just an idea of what we've made up in our minds.
Exactly. Much agreeable to that.
And so going into talking about your work, you've talked quite a bit, I think, about what you hope people get out of it, and the things that inspire you for writing in specific stories, which are your experiences. But what would you say is your greatest inspiration for writing overall? What started you with writing, and what keeps you going as a writer?
I'm always curious in some ways. So it's the constant desire to learn, I guess, is my greatest inspiration. I would say that the people I've met, I've learned a lot from them, the people I've worked with, the people I've made friends with, and definitely my family. There are some, we may not directly know about it, but in some ways we have learned quite a few things and values that we gain from the relationships we have for the people we've met, whether it's just a brief meeting or a brief acquaintance or a long distance relationship. You know, it all boils down to the connections we have with people. And I think that when it comes to inspiration, one thing that fuels me is my desire to learn. I always learn from the people I've met. I've always learned from the people I've collaborated with. And I think that that's what keeps me going when it comes to my writing process, to be able to learn from the world, to be able to learn from people. And I think that writing itself, or the process of reading, is definitely a learning experience, but writing itself, you'll get to discover insights that you've never thought of before. And I think that it's a very life-changing experience when it comes to discovering something about yourself or discovering something, more things about the world around you. And then when you put them in words, it becomes clearer. And I think that it's a very interesting practice where you reflect on what happened to you, and when you try to value the connections or the relationships you have with people, and then when you also try to make sense of everything around you through writing, it becomes like a life-altering practice, which I think indirectly changes you for the better as a person. So in a way, it helps me manage about, there are some things that I'm kind of like curious about this world. And then when I try to like learn from it by reading about it or by talking to people about it, and then I would get their insights, I would get their opinions. And then it makes me realize that, oh, there's definitely a lot to learn about the world that I haven't learned yet. So that's what keeps me inspired. It's the constant desire to learn, to unlearn, and at the same time to discover things that I haven't discovered yet and would want to explore further. And I think that writing offers me that opportunity and that chance. So it's definitely something to do and something that I always keep in mind whenever I write a new work.
I think that's a really interesting view of writing as sort of it's in its own way a way to discover more about the world, and gives you a method where you can connect with and get to know so many more people and so many more points of view, and also to understand your own better. I had never thought of it that way, but hearing it's really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. But I admit that I have still so many things to learn about. So I think life in general is a constant process. We're not finished products. If we are finished products, then we'd be dead by now. But I would say that there's always an opportunity to learn. We are always in the process of achieving, of trying to achieve the better version of us. And not only that, but in our efforts to improve ourselves, we indirectly also can improve the lives of other people. So I'm not saying that we're hero. We definitely should advocate to become heroes or something. But it's like we just try our best each day in whatever kind of routine we have, whether it's waking up or taking a bath or going to work. We try our best each day, even when it's as minimal effort as possible, because the only way to learn about more about the world is to live life to the fullest. And by living life to the fullest, it doesn't mean that you have to be wealthy, you have to travel the world. I mean, those are options, but living life to the fullest is also like being kind, being courageous, being brave, like saying hello to the people you meet even when you don't know them, or like greeting them politely, or basically when you're doing your job, you just make sure that okay, I will do my best to complete this job within the day, or if it's not within your capacity, then I will do my best to make the most of what I can do within the day. So like whether it's taking your coffee or meeting friends or attending parties, making the most out of moments can help you learn more about yourself and more about the world around you, and then you get to appreciate life in general. And I think that is applicable to all of us.
Yeah, I do think that the way that you look at writing as a and learning and life as this constant journey towards learning is something that I definitely agree and share. And then the idea that writing is just a method where we can learn and share more easily with the people around us, especially as we get better and better at communicating through our words, is a great way to view it, and also to keep yourself feeling positive and motivated as you continue to grow and learn.
Definitely.
And so I want to ask you, is your work dedicated to anybody when you write these stories? Do you think this is dedicated to this person, or this person was a heavy inspiration, or is it usually just a variety of experiences coming together?
I would say that each work that I write is dedicated to the people who inspired me to write about them or something like that. Like there are some short stories that I've written that are dedicated to my mother and my family in general, because my mother has always been my inspiration. She raised single-handedly my sister and me when we were growing up, and like I owe a lot of my life to her. My sister also, well, she's one of my inspirations in life. She's a very brave person for going through a lot as well, because right now she works as a nurse and she saves lives. And I've seen the struggle of many frontliners during the pandemic. So there are some of my short stories that are also dedicated to people who are in the front lines during the time of crisis, when we all experienced the tolls of the pandemic during 2 years ago. And then, or yeah, 3 years ago. And then it also depends on, like, there are, like, as for personal experiences, there are some ideas that come out of it. And in those experiences, I've met people who have, been a part of that experience in general. So, in a way, subtly or indirectly, it's also dedicated to them, because I could not have made these precious moments without them in it. So every time I have my work published, I always share it with people that are kind of like have been a part of that experience and that moment. So I always tell them, oh, this one was inspired by this memory. When you remember when we were together, remember when we were at this place, or we remember when we were eating at this restaurant or something like that. So I always share it to them, and it's one way to, appreciate them in our lives. So dedication to the people that I've been in touch, and dedication to the people that I'm in contact and in my relationships that I've cherished over the years.
That does make that is something that I totally understand, is that it's not always necessarily even everything about a person, but even just single moments that you have with people can inspire so much in us, right?
Definitely, definitely.
And I do think that you mentioned the being on a front line with being a nurse and everything, that type of thing is pretty heavy during the pandemic, and
Right.
those experiences can be quite emotional as well.
Right, yeah, definitely. And we all go through certain struggles in our lives, whether we work in a certain practice or in a certain profession. And I think that it's constant. But in a way, one thing that would give us comfort is that we're here for each other. Whatever we do in life, whatever we put our focus on, or whatever kind of efforts we're doing, as long as it's for the good, then the reassurance that there are people that we can, you know, trust and lean on would help us get through the day. And for me, it's my family. Even when I'm away, even when I'm living basically continents apart from them, I would consider them as like my foundation to talk with them whenever things don't go as planned. I always find comfort in the words of my mother, and sometimes I always find reassurance in the words of in the advice of my sister. And yeah, it's also the friends that we meet along the way as well, because some friends stay with us for as long as we have expected, so for longer than we have expected. And I think that it matters. Yeah, it's definitely something that we can find courage on and to rely on, especially in a world where a lot of things would make us feel sad, or a lot of things would trigger us to become, you know, to lose hope about life in general. And one thing that would enliven or to fuel that hope is a reassurance that there are people who care. And I think that all of us should need to realize that.
I think that's a beautiful message to share, Theria, that there are people around us and that there are people who care about us that we also care about. And there's going to be opportunities as well in the future, as well as in the present, to have moments and memories and connections with people that could last our entire lifetime.
Right, definitely.
I know I definitely have some people who I'm no longer in connection with now, but I still cherish the memories that I shared with them, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Definitely, yeah. And it's what makes life really worthwhile, you know, is the experience with people who are special in our lives. Sorry.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think this is something where we both share a very similar opinion on it, but you expressed it very wonderfully.
Thank you. I try my best.
So I want to ask you, you know, you've connected with other authors, you've connected with readers, you've have all these connections with people that you've met over, you know, your time and your journey. Is there a particular indie author that you might want to share with everybody? Be like, hey, check out this fellow writer who I think is doing wonderful work.
Oh, there's a lot, actually. One that I can definitely mention is, she's a friend of mine. I think that she publishes her works on her WordPress site, and she's very, I love her prose, Alvy Jane Aranton, and she's very inspirational because she and I are college friends, and she has, she has self-published three zines at the moment, or like, three compiled works of her poetry and her prose, which are really beautiful, and they're all like advices about how to like get through life and when you're in your adult. And I think that as young adults as we are, I think that we are definitely in need of advice, in especially in moments that are still new to us, discoveries that are quite we still haven't touched about them during our younger years. So definitely, I think people should check her out, Alvy Jane Aranton, and I'll probably add her WordPress or Substack account on in the descriptions. But I'm in full support of her because she's also inspired me in many ways that we might not have imagined, but she's definitely a good person to look up to. And also for the rest, I would definitely say the authors that have been published by Cinnabar Moth Publishing. I think that you guys have definitely produced a lot of really, really innovative, unique voices as of late. And I think that it's a good way to explore more stories, because there are diverse stories in there that should be heard and should and people should read about. And I think that it's also a very good platform to learn more about diverse voices as well.
I think that's a wonderful shout out, and we appreciate you also talking about all authors. We definitely agree that we feel we have connected with quite a few amazing and talented writers, yourself included.
Thank you, Rasta.
And so, Angela, I'd like to thank you for talking with me today and being on the Writer's Triangle.
Thank you so much, Rasta, for inviting me and for giving me the opportunity. And I would like to express my gratitude once again to Cinnabar Moth, the organization behind Cinnabar Moth Publishing, for giving me the opportunity to receive the Cinnabar Moth Literary Cinnabar Moth Collections Prize for short storytelling. And to all my fellow authors, it's always a constant journey, and what matters most is that we just put our we make life to the fullest by telling stories.
And it's a beautiful message to share with everybody. Once again, Angela, I'd like to congratulate you on being the winner for Cinnabar Moth's Literary Collections Prize for Short Storytelling. And I'd also like to ask you, where can everybody find you as far as social media goes?
Yeah, I'm currently active on my Instagram account, and also I have a Facebook. And well, my Instagram is at jello.writes, and that's WRITES. And then on Instagram, on Facebook, I'm Angelo Lorenzo. And then on YouTube, I have a YouTube channel as well. It's Angelo Lorenzo. And then on Twitter, I'm also available on Twitter. I just post some of my travel logs there and my insights. Angelo_Lorenzo. And then where else? On Threads as well, because I think that goes along with Instagram. So I'm also available on Threads with the same username that I have on my Instagram account, at jello.writes. So I'm available on those platforms. And yeah, for our listeners who would like to check out my short stories, there are loads of them published on the Cinnabar Moth Collections website.
That's wonderful. And for everybody listening, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com or cinnabarmothliterarycollections.com, where you can check out the transcripts and you'll also find all of Angelo's social media links. Thanks to all of you beautiful moths for listening. And Angela, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Rasta.
For now, though, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.